You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 12th, 2021, Israeli media citing Western intel sources claim that Israel's Mossad spy agency is to blame for that power cut on an Iran nuclear facility. The power cut just hours after that site began enriching uranium at high speeds. Now, Iran has called it an act of terror, but stopped short of directly blaming Israel. And does say Tehran reserves a right to take action against the perpetrators. That power cut, apparently the result of a cyber attack, did cause, quote, critical damage at the heart of Iran's enrichment program. And uranium enrichment at that facility stopped. No casualties incurred. We're going to have to keep a close watch on that story and how it develops. In the meantime, White House Chief of Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci advising you, even if you've been vaccinated for COVID-19, hold off on gathering indoors to eat or drink. That's right. You got the vaccine. You still need to wear a mask. He said if you're not vaccinated, get vaccinated as soon as possible. And if you are vaccinated, you have to still be careful, especially indoors. Wear a mask. In other words, just keep following what we tell you to do. Well, in the meantime, there's a new antibody cocktail that's been developed that supposedly dropped the risk of symptomatic COVID-19 by up to 76% after 3 days for those recently infected and not yet experiencing symptoms. So there's another vaccine they're rolling out that may or may not be beneficial, but you may still have to wear the mask, according to Dr. Fauci. And the government scientists in Britain now pushing back against models suggesting a third wave of the Chinese coronavirus would fall upon their country over the summer. And they're beginning to lift restrictions in the UK. And some are saying, oh, no, not so fast. You're going to have a third wave. And others say, no, we're not. We might have some because of tourism coming in, but we'll watch it. They want to get tourism going again and get their people back to work, just as we do in this nation. And CNN spreading another false story over the weekend, falsely reporting to readers in their CNN.com site how to safely fly and pointing out that your risk of getting a COVID on a plane is greatly increased. An expert called out CNN on that, said, no, 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 you got the numbers backwards. So CNN did eventually fix it, add a little editor's note. We had an article that previously incorrectly... Yeah, that's it. So we made a mistake. How many people saw the correction? The police chief in Brooklyn Center outside Minnesota releasing body cam footage of the officer-involved shooting of a 20-year-old over the weekend. And now the officer, according to the police chief, had an accidental discharge. She claims, apparently, she was grabbing for a taser. She pulled out her pistol, fired one shot, and that led to the death of a man, which then in turn prompted more rioting and 20 businesses looted and burned in Minneapolis, or rather outside Minneapolis in that Brooklyn Center area. It's Monday, so what's the update out of Chicago? Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Chicago, 4 shot, 1 fatally. And this was a early Monday morning expressway attack. Again, another expressway shooting in Chicago. The other day, the officers were saying, we need more cameras on the expressway to catch these guys, and suppose they're going to do it. Now, whether or not they're going to have any evidence, we'll see. That volcano on the Caribbean island of St. Vincent that started blowing light last week is getting bigger and bigger. One expert says it's destroying everything in its path. They equate it to what happened in 1902 that killed some 1,600. The volcano last erupted in 1979, and with this one, they say, it's destroying everything. animals, people. You got to get out of there. Some have, some haven't. America is China's top supplier of corn so far, 2021. Did you know that? Chinese media even acknowledging we have corn prices in China at record highs. They use it in China for feeding pigs. That's their most popular meat. So they need more corn. They had been getting it from Ukraine. Now they're buying more from the U.S. Oh, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri. In the first quarter of this year, raking in more than $3 million, outperforming the establishment senators, while leftists are calling for his resignation. Oh, that's not going to make them happy, Senator Josh Hawley, is it? No, sir, not at all.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
President Biden has invited some of my colleagues today to visit the White House to talk about it. And I think that's a great thing. And here's what I hope my colleagues tell President Biden. I hope to say, look, Mr. President, we appreciate the invitation to come over. The White House cookies are great. We've got some questions, though. Because this thing you've proposed has more red flags than the Chinese embassy. Number one, show us a list of the projects. We can keep debating what kind of bill this is, but show us a list of the projects you have in mind. You're asking us to get in the van. Show us the candy first.
Well, that's Senator John Kennedy, a Republican in Louisiana. And talking about some of his colleagues that were invited to the Oval Office today to hear President Biden explain to them and some Democrat counterparts, other Republicans, about this infrastructure bill and how it's going to be good for everything, everything. And I mean for infrastructure. But progressives have started redefining everything. They've been doing it, of course, reference the Supreme Court, as the other day Biden said he was appointing a special commission to help the court perform better and more efficiently. It's actually, if you read their definition, it really means to transform the court and actually direct and control the decisions from the Supreme Court. That's not the body of the duty of the executive branch. Nor Congress. Three branches supposed to be separate but equal and not to be dictated by another. We've got a guest coming up later in this hour. We'll get into that in more detail. Thomas Gipping of the Heritage Foundation. You will want to hear him explain how bad this is and how it's going to affect our nation way, way down the road. as a monkey around the Supreme Court. But again, their definition is we're making it better. That's their definition. We're going to make it better. And of course, when it comes to other words they want to change, it's like there's not a crisis at the border. That's not a C word. And yet Biden is sending out emails to hundreds of federal employees asking them to take a four-month paid leave to go to the border to help out. And their salary apparently will be paid by the health department instead of the department they work for. That's not a crisis, you don't think? No, not according to the new lexicon of the left. I don't know what they would call a crisis in that. Oh, I know. It just suddenly dawned on me. If Trump should win again in 2024, that would be a crisis. Maybe then they'd use the word. But again, on this infrastructure bill is not just what you would imagine infrastructure. You think of roads, highways, maybe other transportation, maybe some internet access, things of that nature. But they've rolled in so many different health care and giveaway things, and some of those have some value. They do. But don't put them all under infrastructure. But now for the leftists, everything becomes infrastructure, socialist infrastructure. So that's what Kennedy was saying, Senator Kennedy saying, you know, we need to know exactly how you're going to spend this money because what you have in mind is not anywhere near what should be infrastructure. Keep in mind, we're talking about this proposal, $2.25 trillion. And, of course, they also immediately started claiming it's going to create 19 million jobs. A lie. Flat-out lie. They got away with it for a while because they were quoting Moody's as a financial expert and stat source. Moody didn't actually say it's going to create 19 million jobs. But last week, a week ago, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg went on the networks with Chris Wallace in particular, with Fox News, and repeated the same lie and basically gave all the balance, the credibility to Moody's. That we're not making it up. It's them doing it, not us. So, this weekend, Buttigieg got cornered on that by, I'm glad to say, Chris Wallace.
Again, Secretary Buttigieg, why mislead folks?
You're right, I should have been more precise. The 19 million jobs that will be created are more than the jobs that will be created if we don't do the plan. And it's very important to make this point. As you just showed us, Moody's is saying that we will create 2.7 million. Yeah, exactly. It will create 2.7 million more jobs than if we don't do it. And that's very important because there are people on this network and others saying with a straight face that this would somehow reduce the number of jobs. In fact, at least according to that Moody's analysis, 2.7 million additional jobs if we pass this package. Just further proof that it's good for the economy, and taken as a whole, it's going to add jobs compared to doing nothing.
Yeah, you see how they swing that around? Well, still, it's going to add jobs, even if it's 2.7. So when you said it was creating 19 million jobs, now you acknowledge, yeah, I should have been more clear. You think? You didn't intend to be clear. You know it. You know exactly what you were doing. You were putting it up in front of the American people. We're going to create 19 million jobs. That's a big, big number. It doesn't make up for what we need in some cases, but on top of that, it's really not even that. It's 2.7 million. 2.7 million. And they knew it, but they were just trying to slide it under the door and walk away. They got away with it last weekend, the weekend before, but not this time around because finally, some folks had a chance to check into it. And I don't blame Chris Wallace or any of the rest of them as they had them on a show and they roll out those figures like that and reference Moody reports. I mean, you hate to say that you have to question anything and everything, but then again, the left always does it with us, don't they? They always question anything and everything, one comma out of place. Or you used a semicolon where you needed a colon. They will call you out. So we're going to have to be careful. But again, the fact is, to reinforce for you, when the Biden administration, through Buttigieg and the rest of them, were claiming this infrastructure plan at $2.25 trillion, will create 19 million jobs. It doesn't. It creates, according to Moody, just another 2.7. In fact, Moody says 16.3 million would happen without this bill. There would be 16 million jobs created without this bill. So it adds 2.7 million. Now, if you're one of the ones just past the 16 million, you're, well, boy, I'm glad I got in. But this is over a period of years, too. It's not like it's overnight. We all know that, I assume. But, of course, if you look at the left, again, their definition might be overnight. Well, 20 years is overnight, isn't it? When you put it in the capsule up against the time of Earth, yeah, you're right. That's a flash of a second, isn't it? Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a Republican, has also been livid about how the left has been lying and fabricating and creating and basically just massaging any word they can to fit their new lexicon, not what you find in the dictionary, but like the word infrastructure has now an entirely new meaning, a political meaning. Listen.
You cannot call a $400 billion plan to force unionization in states to say that taking care of increasing Medicaid payments in states is infrastructure. This is the care economy. This is care infrastructure. It's baloney.
It is baloney. And he just broke out one part of that infrastructure plan. $400 billion to force unionization in states. Increasing Medicaid payments in states. That's not infrastructure. Now, are those things necessarily bad? No, you'd have to take a closer look at them and find, yeah, there might be some give and take here. That's where the compromise comes. You hear Pelosi talk about we just need to compromise. No, that's not what she wants either. See, their word for compromise is not compromise. Compromise for them is you give up, you wave the white flag, and we roll over you. That's their version of compromise, the new definition of the progressives. Same thing when Biden says we want unity. That's not it either. The word is not unity, not in the lexicon, the new dictionary of the left, the progressives. Unity is not that. It's really uniformity. You just didn't know that, did you? Because they're smarter than you are. They're smarter than all of us. These leftists, as they begin to rewrite everything and call an infrastructure bill that has billions that don't even go for infrastructure. Basically, 6 to 8% tops out of that $2.25 trillion will actually go to improving roads and bridges and waterways and things we need for transportation and things of that nature, and maybe some internet facilities and buildings, things of this nature. That's infrastructure. And again, I'm not saying everything in there is that bad, but re-identify it and call it what it is. Quit trying to lie to the American public, because that's what you're doing. And Christie, as he made that remark, you heard him say a moment ago, he said, this is care infrastructure. This is baloney. It's not really infrastructure. Well, at the time, he was appearing on ABC and anchored George Stephanopoulos and his guest, Ron Emanuel, who always had the feeling and attitude that, of course, the former mayor of Chicago and also chief aide to Obama was in office for a time, said, we never want to let a crisis go to waste. So they're rushing in on that. And they hit back. They hit back at Christie saying, well, the proposals are widespread. They have support from Republicans and independents. And there they go with the phrase, we have bipartisan support. No, you don't. Bipartisan support comes in Congress. They're claiming there's some Republicans who like it, so that's bipartisan. Could we use the same word when we were talking about the things that Trump is being praised for, that it had bipartisan support because there were many Democrats who liked what he was doing? Well, of course, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do it. You can't rewrite the dictionary. You can't redefine words. They can. So when they say we have bipartisan support, they don't have bipartisan support where it counts in the Congress where the votes are. But they're claiming we have bipartisan support where Republicans, well, hell, for that matter, there were a lot of Republicans who did not like Trump, never did, still fighting him and fight him now to this point anyway. That's not enough, though, is it? And then, of course, when they began to roll these words around like that, and Christie said you can't call a dog a cat, which is very clear, you also have the case that they just continue to flood you with misinformation and lies, because the state-controlled media, as close as they were to pick apart everything Trump said and everything his administration did, they're just kind of giving a blanket pass to the Biden administration. State-controlled media bought in, paid off, and they're doing their job. And to that point, Senator Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana, said, you got to stop it.
Stop the Niagara of lies. You know, I mean, this is why the aliens won't talk to us. Just tell the truth. If you believe that statement, you need to go to bed. You're drunk. I mean, the whole point of this meeting today is to try to get Republicans to vote for the bill.
Yep.
But we've got a lot of questions. The door's open. It's heavy, but the door's open. But the president and his team need to stop the spin, and let's just get down to it. And stop implying that there's a free lunch here. There's no free lunch, and you don't get one now. Everything free, somebody had to work for. That much I know about life.
You know that. He knows that. Everybody knows that. They know there's no such thing. But again, they're redefining words, aren't they? And speaking of the lies, newly elected Georgia senator lying about the Georgia election bill and then later admits, I did sign off on false information. Oh, my bad. Stick around for that story. Still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Newly elected Senator Warnock, Democrat of Georgia, admits, I did sign off on false information regarding an email we sent out regarding the Georgia voting law after it passed. That email that went out claimed that the Georgia law ended no-excuse mail voting and restricted early voting on the weekends. But the fact is, that's not true. Those were considerations, but those points never made it into the final bill. The final bill actually expanded early voting in Georgia to 17 days, including two Saturdays. It also allowed no-excuse absentee voting. Now, the statement from Warnock that he signed off on went out March 30, 5 days after the final bill was signed. Nobody bothered checking because they weren't interested in the facts. They wanted to continue to promote the Jim Crow law review and report and repeating again that Joe Biden and others were using, pushing a racism card and button every time on it. And Biden also put out false information, claiming the law limits voting hours. Again, wrong. Well, it definitely ended up hurting Georgia. The MLB pulled out the All-Star game, obviously, and moved it to Denver. $100 million of potential revenue. Georgia-based corporations Delta and Coca-Cola are speaking out against the Georgia law, but if they're reading the law, it's not what they claim it is. And there's another casualty. Will Smith, director of an Apple-produced thriller titled Emancipation, they were filming in Georgia. And Will Smith said, in good conscience, we can't continue to provide money to Georgia as we think the new laws amount to Reconstruction-era voter suppression. You know, I have a great deal of respect for Will Smith, but either he got bad information or he didn't really look at himself, because that is not what it does again. And the other part of that is, You're hurting the very people you say you want to help. Now, compared to the All-Star game, this is nothing. It's $15 million that would go to the Georgia economy. The Georgia population, according to the 2019 Census Bureau, is 57.8% white, close to 32% black or African American. That's in the state as a whole. And in Atlanta, of course, you have a higher number of percentage. It's closer, I think, to 40-plus percent of blacks just in the city of Atlanta. and where a lot of the businesses were going to benefit from the All-Star game, and I don't know if they're going to be helped by the Will Smith film or not. Georgia, by the way, is third, let me see, make it fourth. I think it's fourth in the total population of black Americans in the nation. Texas is number one, almost 4 million. Florida's second largest, 3.8. And Georgia is third, 3.6, according to these stats. So anything you take out of Georgia like that that brings money, you're hurting people that you say you're trying to help. That doesn't seem to make any sense, does it? Now, again, Will Smith, it's his own company. They're doing for this Apple production they're doing. They can do what they want. The MLB commissioner made the decision without really talking to any of the league, apparently, just talking to Stacey Abrams, who ran for governor in Georgia, and listening to her and Al Sharpton and others. They said, okay, let's yank it out. And then Abrams started saying, well, I wish you wouldn't go. In other words, she wanted the folks to be punished, but then she wanted to say, I didn't have anything to do with it. That's $100 million. And again, it targets minority communities, taking that money out primarily. By the way, speaking of doing movie productions in Georgia, Georgia's become a really big lucrative destination because of tax rebates, which at one time Missouri had, but then turned their back on it. So they're probably going to move out of Georgia, probably go to Louisiana. They're not going to get the same rebates, but they're going to go ahead and take the hit anyway. And yet Tyler Perry, who has his own studio in Atlanta, has cautioned the entertainment industry from pulling out of the state or the voting laws. He's not pulling out. And for that matter, neither is CNN and NN. They're keeping their headquarters in Atlanta. At least some jobs are being protected and money that would help Georgia residents, regardless of their color. Coming up, is Biden really interested in making the Supreme Court better or under his control? Are Dems and progressives going forward?
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the other day, President Biden announced that he was going to set up a Supreme Court commission to look at how they could improve the U.S. Supreme Court. He was coming up with this commission saying it's going to be a bipartisan type commission, but that's not right. That's not right. In fact, the Wall Street Journal opinion piece quickly said his panel on court packing tilts sharply to the legal and political left. The publisher of The Federalist stated a number of different people who are on there as kind of a token conservatives who are actually people strongly anti-Trump, anti-conservative, basically pro-big business. So it really isn't bipartisan. Well, as I told you earlier, the Dems, progressives are relabeling and renaming different words and changing the meaning because they can't. So what about this plan to improve the court? Really? Joining us now, Thomas Jipping, Senior Lingo Fellow with the Heritage Foundation. Tom, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Thanks for having me.
So the left and Biden would have us believe that this is all just really going to help improve the court. But you wrote a piece for Daily Signal that says, no, that's not at all the intent. Go ahead, sir.
Well, when someone says they're going to give you a prescription, what's the first question you ask? Well, what was the diagnosis? If someone's going to, you know, offer a solution, you ought to ask, well, what's the problem? And that's really what we have to do here. There's no doubt that the left wants to change the judiciary. They don't like the way our judiciary is designed. They want federal judges to have much more power than they are designed to have, so that they can avoid you and me, the American people, and impose their political agenda. But, you know, our system is designed really very well, and it limits the power of unelected judges. So what's the left supposed to do? Well, they could be honest and just say...
No, that's not possible. I'm sorry, Tom, that's not possible. They can't be honest.
Well, that's a theory.
But go ahead. All right.
It's kind of like a unicorn. It hasn't been seen, but... you know, so this is what they've chosen to do instead. You remember during the presidential campaign, people were pushing Joe Biden to say, do you support court packing? Do you support artificially expanding the Supreme Court just for the purpose of appointing new additional left-wing judges? And he wouldn't say. The only thing he talked about was, well, I think we're going to have a commission to study the courts because they're out of whack. That was the only thing that he said. Well, being out of whack, I mean, I'm out of whack. It's not a problem. It's not the kind of problem you can pin down that justifies this kind of thing. So what this is basically a cloaking device. It's a way to mask what they're really trying to achieve so that this outside commission with all these smart, you know, law professors, there's 36 members. It's the largest court reform commission that's ever been created.
I don't think anything can be done with 36, but go ahead.
Well, I have a problem doing things with the three voices in my head. But, you know, there's 36 members. They're almost all law professors, many of whom have already taken public positions advocating real changes like term limits and court packing and all of this. And it's to create a record of a supposed crisis that really doesn't exist. This is essentially a campaign to take over the Supreme Court, permanently politicize it, so that the American people have less rather than more power over how we govern ourselves.
Well, to that point, of course, folks, again, you're listening to Thomas Jipping at the Heritage Foundation. To that point, the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to not make law, but interpret the Constitution. And even Justice Breyer, appointed by Bill Clinton back in 94, the leftist progressives want him off the bench so they can make a quick replacement. And he's already one of the ones speaking out, tell the Democrats, not a good idea to pack the Supreme Court. Here's a leftist judge telling them, you're going down the wrong road.
Well, the idea of changing the size of the Supreme Court, that's what we call court packing, has been around for a long time. Franklin Roosevelt tried it in the 1930s. But the fact is that the Supreme Court has had 9 members since 1869, and there is no case to be made that that's too low. In fact, that's not high enough.
Right.
And so all of these proposals to expand the court are not about helping the court to do its job better or because there's a workload that's just unmanageable. The Supreme Court decides fewer than half the cases every year than it did just 30 years ago. The only purpose for expanding the court is to create new vacancies that Joe Biden can immediately fill so that he'll to change the way that the court decides cases. Now, that has never been done. It should never be done. The independence of our courts are literally one of the reasons why we declared independence from Great Britain.
But again, very quickly, sir, every justice chosen by the president who nominates them, Obviously has baggage that they like as opposed to some they wouldn't. Scalia admitted that. Say we all carry it, but when we're on the court, we try our best to go down the line. And you talked earlier about the number. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said 9 is a perfect number. Breyer doesn't think we should have changes, but he's 82. They want to push him out. They are not interested, as you said, sir. They're not interested in what's good for the court, what's good for the nation. It's what's good for them.
This is about further pushing the judicial branch toward being an engine of politics.
Yep.
And it's exactly the opposite of the way our system was designed. There are judiciaries all over the world. There are written constitutions in countries all over the world. Why is ours better? Because our judiciary is independent of the political branches, independent of the political machine. Judges decide when vacancies occur because they decide when they're going to retire. This kind of a plan, court packing or other kinds of ideas, they would have the politicians create the vacancies by just simply creating unnecessary new judgeships solely so that they can appoint political judges.
You pointed out.
This would permanently destroy the reason why our judiciary is better than any other in the world.
And you pointed out in your article you did for Daily Signal that you were referring to Harvard Law School Professor Emeritus Lawrence Tribe. He's on this commission, and his 1985 book, God Save This Honorable Court, he outlined how the Senate could refuse to confirm any Supreme Court nominee who would not commit to particular rulings on certain constitutional issues. In other words, we want your ruling right now as you're going through the confirmation. Now, we know every time, regardless of which side is presenting a candidate, they're questioned by the opposing side on certain issues, abortion, gun control, things of this nature. And generally, if they don't have prior writings and decisions, they're going to say, well, I'll have to see what comes in front of me. Is that obviously won't be effective, right?
I think if you ask most Americans, should judges decide cases impartially, or should they decide cases the way they want them to come out?
Right.
When you go to a baseball game, you do not believe that the umpire is going to skew and rig the rules so that his favorite team wins. Everybody knows that that's the kind of judiciary that we ought to have. Professor Tribe, you know, law professors can do good things, but I tell you, they can do a lot of damage, too.
Yeah.
Larry Tribe has been leading each effort of the last almost 40 years to push the courts in a political direction. And each time we do this, there's no going back. This is the thing. If we abandon the kind of independence that our judiciary has had from the very beginning, there's no getting it back. Once we cross that Rubicon and we permanently politicize the courts, I don't know what people think is left to protect their rights.
Well, let me
but
ask,
an independent judiciary and a constitution is what's supposed to happen.
Let me ask the one issue that I think a lot of folks might have some agreement on, the term limits. I mean, when you're appointed to the Supreme Court or a federal judgeship, it's for life. And so is that an issue that really does deserve some, let's say, some inspection?
Well, that too has been debated for a long time. The problem is not how long a judge serves. The problem is what kind of judge is on the bench.
Well, yeah.
I would rather have, you know, a Justice Scalia for 30 years than, you know, three judges for 10 years apiece who are questionable in their rulings. I worked on the Judiciary Committee in the Senate for 15 years. I saw up close the way the Senate treats judicial nominees. If you have term limits, that means you're going to have two or three times as many confirmation hearings, two or three times as many nominees coming before the Senate. I don't want those politicians getting their hands on more judicial nominees than absolutely necessary.
Plus the judges' heads are always on the chopping block.
That's right. And the more interaction there is between judges and the politicians, the more the judges believe that, you know, they've got to rule a certain way in order to keep their job. And that is exactly what King George did.
Yep.
in the 18th century, and it's one of the very reasons why we declared independence.
In the last 15, 20 seconds, do you think the commission's really going to come up with anything that we don't already know? They could write the paper right now. This is all for show?
Well, they've got 180 days. The really unique thing, though, is they're supposedly not going to issue any recommendations. That's what commissions usually do. So I ask, then, what is the point?
Good point. Good point. Thomas Jeffing, always glad to have you on board, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Thomas Jeffing of the Heritage Foundation. Now, what is the point? They're going to do all that, and then they're not going to give you anything? Coming up, how CNN called you out for being a racist, and now maybe the question should be raised about CNN.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, history was made over the weekend at the Masters. Hideki Matsuyama made history, the first male golfer from Japan to win a major championship. Now, 10 years ago, he won the best amateur at Augusta National. And then Matsuyama claimed the ultimate trophy with a victory in the Masters. 29 years of age. They only got close at the end, actually had a large lead throughout most of Sunday and then had some trouble. And at one point, they got he was only two strokes ahead of Xander Schulhoffel. And I think I butchered that name. Sorry about that, Xander. But then Xander had a triple bogey, and so that got him back in. All he needed was to win by one shot, which he did. He later said, Matsuyama said, hopefully I'll be a pioneer and many other Japanese will follow. And he also got a notice from Tiger Woods, five-time Masters winner. He sent out a tweet congratulating Matsuyama on a victory that, quote, would impact the entire golf world. Well, CNN, of course, was covering it, as other organizations were as well. If you recall the other day, I shared with you that CNN had come out with a column called Karate, Wonton, and Chow Fun, the end of Chop Suey fonts. The fonts are a reference to wording and letters shape you might use for typesetting for something you're doing on a banner or even just your own use of printing out a paper. You choose which font you want, right? Well, they were saying, according to CNN, all these fonts, many of them communicate Asianness and they're racist. That's what they were claiming. And saying for years the West has relied on so-called chop suey fonts to communicate Asianness in food packaging, posters, and ad campaigns. But that just perpetuates stereotypes. Well, a political satirist, Tim Young, said, you know, CNN has reached the epitome of we're out of stuff to pretend to be outraged by this week for clicks if they're surmising which fonts are racist. And he said, that leaves me with more questions and virtual signals. Which fonts belong to which demographics? Does this mean Times New Roman is a Caucasian font? Is the old typewriter font for elderly people? Are there straight and gay fonts? Are fonts based on the 54 genders? I need to know. I'm confused at this point. That's a good point. But CNN, in the process of doing some coverage of the Masters, and after lecturing you that you need to realize not all Asians are the same. You might want to say they look alike. They don't. They all have distinguishing characteristics. And, of course, that's obviously the same said about any sect of people, be they black, white, yellow, or red. But after the CNN lecture about what fonts you should be using, because if you use the wrong type, someone could say you're racist. But again, as satirist Tim Young said, does that mean that the old typewriter font is just for the elderly? And I say, wait a minute, wait, stop right there. What do you mean by elderly? Elderly, what do you mean by that? Yeah, I hearken back to years ago in the newsroom when I was at that time approaching 50 and I would walk in and some reporter is talking about an elderly man. And I said, how old is this guy? And they said 57. I said, well, say 57. That's not elderly. Now, when I was in my 30s, I probably thought, yeah, that was elderly. But journalistically, you got the specifics. Use that. Say it's a 57-year-old. Same thing they would sometimes report the elderly grandmother. Well, wait a minute. I saw the picture on the screen. How old is the woman? Well, she's 42, and she's a grandmother. Well, that could happen. But, I mean, you're imposing a picture and an image of, you know, and not all grandmas are like this, that she's dawdling around and barely able to stand without help of a cane. I mean, of course, that's not true nowadays anyway. But they just use that phraseology to create a picture. And so, yes, you need to be careful when you're labeling, especially a particular race, as to being, well, I can't tell. They all look alike. Well, that's the kind of stuff you'd hear from Archie Bunker. And at that time, it was acceptable. The same kind of things he was saying that got probably amplified in the Clint Eastwood El Camino when he's got some Korean family living next door to him and a kid he's having some trouble with, and yet he ends up becoming the best friends and saving the family, paying an ultimate price to protect them. But the stuff that happened in that movie, that the character played by Eastwood, racial slurs left and right. But again, that was 10 years ago, and Archie Bunker was even before that. Nowadays, none of that is acceptable, and the Clint Eastwood movie is being targeted and attacked. But CNN the other day, after lecturing us, you know what they did? They were talking about an article about PGA golfer Siwoo Kim and Sungjae Im, both from South Korea, both competed in the Masters. They were talking specifically about a report that Kim broke his putter in frustration on Friday, meant he had to use his 3-wood on the greens for the remainder of the round. But in talking about him, they didn't use his picture. They didn't use a picture of Siwoo Kim. They used a picture of Sungjae Im. It made a big difference to the two men, did it not? And certainly for the Asian community. And CNN is guilty of racism, you think? Just a simple mistake? Yeah, that's right. When progressives make it, it's just a little mistake. So bad. Too bad. As always, we appreciate you listening. Let your friends and family know we're here. I do appreciate it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.